Welcome back to another episode of the Real Life Carry Podcast. This is episode number 129. I'm here with Mike Szabo. How's it going, Michael?
It's going well. Good to be back.
What do we have on offer today?
Well, we're going to talk a little bit about the gimme putt. We're going to talk a little bit about caddy stories, and we're going to talk a little bit about the rising cost of golf. I mentioned early in the season I did get a new job this year, and we're going to talk a little bit about what that has entailed.
Fabulous. Yes, you touched on gimme and also the cost of golf. That's going to be in the second half of the episode. But as always, we shall start with our caddy stories, and I will let you take the stage.
So if you remember, first season of the year, when you got back from Scotland, I had mentioned
Scotland.
It's kind of a slow time of the year. It was mid-December, late December, something like that. And yeah. It was late December. And there is a few slow weeks in there. So I said, you know me, I have to make money at something. If I find a way to make money, it's like, all right, I gotta keep doing this. If it's easy and...
Are you sure you're of Italian background and not something else?
I hear you. But anyway, so I started doing, you know, the rideshare apps and driving people around. You know, before, during COVID, I did like the Uber Eats and the DoorDash because I didn't want to ride people in my car. But I found out it's a lot more lucrative when you're carrying actual passengers. Uh-huh. Come to find out, I kind of enjoyed it. And
can I just ask, when you were delivering food, did you ever get a little peckish and grab a couple of fries? Or,
well, I mean, when you get Chipotle, you know how that goes. I mean, carne asada is really good sometimes. They might have a few less pieces than they started with, absolutely. Yeah. But so come to find out, I actually enjoyed doing it, and there's a lot of parallels to caddying. It's essentially the same thing. You're just babysitting a bunch of drunk people. I mean, that's exactly what it is. And I've had a few doozies since I started doing it. I actually precipitated, I don't think I've ever done this before, caddying or otherwise, I precipitated a divorce. Like 100%, this guy is probably getting divorced because of you. Because of my actions. Well, because of his actions. I mean, he was going to get found out eventually. But anyway, so this is how it went down. We're going to change names for the sake of this story, just on the off chance that he's still together. But so I pick up this gal. We'll call her April.
April.
I picked up April at the resort by herself early in the day. She's going shopping in Carmel or somewhere. Yeah. Drop her off. You know, very attractive young lady. I was like, I'm not stunned too often, but I was like, wow, she's stunning. She's a stunning young lady. Didn't think much of it. Drop her off. Later on that night, out driving again, I pick her up again with her boyfriend.
Okay.
Again, she's like, hey, Mike, you drove me earlier today. I'm like, hey, April, yeah, good to see you.
What's April's boyfriend called?
Steve, we're going to call
him. Steve and April.
So she's like, hey, this is my boyfriend, Steve. And Steve's hoorah and all excited. He goes, never going to believe it. Had my first hole in one today. I'm like, oh, were you at the Wii Par 3 course over there?
He's like, home course.
But he had a legitimate hole in one.
Yeah.
I'm like, congratulations, man. He's like, yeah, my buddies were giving me a bunch of shit. I got to go over to the restaurant over here, buy him some drinks, because I kind of jetted off after to meet up with my girlfriend.
Yeah. April.
Yeah, April. He's like, all right, drive us over here. We got a dinner reservation like an hour and a half. He's like, do you mind waiting for me? And I'm like, I look at him, I'm like, yeah, kind of, bro. I'm trying to do this for money. And he's like, oh, I'll take care of you, and peeled off, you know, a handsome sum of money. I'm like, yeah, bro, I'll wait for you, no problem.
I'll wait for you for a week.
So anyways, I bring him to dinner, drop him off. He's like, hey, let me get, he already had my number, because he's like, I'm going to text you when we're coming out after I buy my buddy's drinks. So he's like, you're my Uber driver the next three nights. I said, perfect. So I'm driving around next three nights, him and April. Mm-hmm. He goes, okay. He calls me 3 days later. He says, you got to drop April off at the airport. I said, no problem. Pick up April, drop her off at the airport. Nice to meet you, April. See you later. Still think nothing of it. Later on that night, I'm picking up a different couple in Carmel at a restaurant. I pick them up, said, hey, buddy, what are you in town for? Oh, playing in this golf tournament, blah, 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 blah.
Are you caddying for these guys at all?
No. But oddly enough, so Steve, I come to find out, is from where I came from in Florida. And I knew who was caddying for him.
Okay.
And I said, hey, you have my buddies caddying for you. That's amazing. So same thing with this guy. He says, I'm from Florida, same area. I'm like, you must be on this team right here with Steve. He goes, yeah. I go, oddly enough, and this guy's with his wife. I said, funny enough, I just dropped off April, his girlfriend, at the airport half an hour ago. And his wife goes, excuse me, April? And she looks at me, looks at her husband. And so come to find out, their wives had just flown in.
Oh.
the girlfriend he sent out, the wife's just flew in. She's best friends with Steve's wife.
Wow.
And I said it like three times. I'm like, April, and then they got all quiet, and he's like, oh, man.
The plot thickens.
Very quiet ride after that. I dropped him off at the airport. The next day, my buddy who was caddying for him was like, man, you messed up big time. That was her best friend. And Steve's got found out.
Oh,
she ran away. So Steve's wife didn't make the trip, but this guy's wife didn't, came in later. So I didn't know. How was I to know? How am I supposed to know?
Sometimes, have you learned a lesson?
Yeah, I'm going to keep my mouth shut. You never know what's out there. But that was a rough one for him. I mean, good laugh for me, but wow.
We don't have to tell the story about on Sunday when we worked together. No, Friday. Mm-hmm. I nearly put my foot in my mouth again.
Oh, God. We don't have to. Should we tell the story? I mean, that was pretty bad.
We don't have to tell the story. Don't want to offend anyone.
It was just Gordon being Gordon, and he was talking to a gentleman about some players he caddied for a few weeks ago, and they were of a certain area.
Yeah.
Area, and
as I'm looking at Sam, and I catch a glimpse out of the side of my eye of Zabo, he's talking about
him and their personality and where they're from. I'm like, bro, he's from the same exact spot, place. And he comes from there. I'm like, ex-nay on the
And I somewhat saved it. But
he did. He's like, yeah.
The loop that I was talking about, I'm starting to. If you are from Los Angeles or within that area and you listen to this podcast, please get in touch. I am losing faith that there's any decent people in Los Angeles, California, that play
only
golf.
Only from certain country clubs. There's certain red flags country clubs. Actually, before we move on to more golf stories, more red flags. So that's the thing about driving. Just like caddying, you can tell from the get-go there's red flags and there's certain times to step away. This happened on St. Patrick's Day. I was picking up at a bar, and you can tell when you're caddying the red flags, and you're like, oh, I'm staying away from that group. And I'm picking these two guys up, and I knew. I'm like, oh, just drive away. But it was a decent fare, so I didn't drive away. I stayed there, and he is stumbling into the car, and I'm like, oh, this is not going to go well. So he gets in the car, and we're driving back inside the gate to a pretty nice house. The address, I know the area, and it's a nice house. And I can hear kind of, you know, the seagull sound, and I'm like, hey, man, you going to be sick back there? He's like, yeah, I'm going to be sick. I'm like, pull over to the side of the road. I'm like, get out of the car right now. Right out the side. Like, I rolled down the window. The door was half open, so he's got throw up on the my seat a little bit on the outside of the door, and he's laying on the ground, throwing up on the ground, and his buddy's smashed two in the other seat, and I'm like, all right, out of the car, get out. And he's like, no, I'm okay, drop him off. I said, you get over there with your buddy. And his buddy's like, hey, man, I just want to get home. Drive me back to my house and I'll clean it up. I'm like, clean it up? You can't even stand up. I like, get out of my car. And the other guy won't get out of my car. So I unbuckle, get out of my car, rip the door open. I say, get the F out of my car right now. And I left them on the side of the road.
How far from the home?
Oh, they were about 6 miles from home in the middle of nowhere on the side of the road. I don't envy the driver that was going to attempt to pick them up after. But yeah, red flags. You have to look out for those red flags.
The red flags. Now, I'll tell you what's so ironic about that whole scenario is I remember first getting in your car when you got it a few years ago, and I had to sit in a towel. And now you're letting all sorts of scrubs in the car and
well,
St. Paddy's
have
Day.
You seen my car lately? I put seat covers. Those were nice white seats, and there's seat covers over there, so they're very well
protected. Did you
protected.
Get rid of the smell of puke?
I did. I'm very anal about keeping my car clean, so I was scrubbing it down
right
away.
The door.
Yeah.
Oh, dear. Well,
unbelievable.
The loop that I nearly put my foot in my mouth with this lad Sam, it was just horrendous. I don't typically take jobs from other people anymore, but the situation was such that the time worked out nicely. But it was a scenario where we're going down the first hole of the wee course. The other caddy in the group, the bags are already in a cart, and it's very tough for us to change mentality. Would you agree?
Oh, for sure. Especially, oh, yeah, I remember because you were right in front of me when this happened, and I kind of saw it progressing, yeah.
And the thing is, once they've hit their shots and we're 50 yards and the guy stops you and says, oh, it'd probably be easier if you just carried.
Yeah. Too late now, buddy.
Too late. I'm not going to leave the cart here and go through the process. I don't know what the bags weigh, etc. Mm-hmm. As it turned out, they weren't heavy at all, but that was it. Kiss of death. absolutely nothing I could do. They were trying to catch me out every single time. Do you have that wedge? Do you have that wedge? They absolutely hated me. And
they sure did.
I think 5-6 years ago, I would have walked off after 10, something was said. And I thought, you know what? It's podcast material. Just stick through it. I don't want their trip up here to be about the horrible experience they had with me.
Yeah.
So I am maturing, Zabo.
You are. Good
and
for you.
I'll tell you, yesterday I had another one. Go down to tea. Some Japanese chaps.
This Asian is just chaps. A random bench job?
This was, yeah. Because they're going to punch the green shortly. So
yeah, get your work
in
now.
I'll get an extra day of work in before I take 2 or 3 weeks off.
I gotcha.
And I'm working with Mackie Boy.
Oh, our boy.
Mackie Boy, I get about 4 a year with him.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely tremendous.
He's
a lot of guys.
Great caddy.
He's the knowledge, the wealth of knowledge this guy has.
Oh, it's amazing. Yeah, it takes a special person. But yeah, I mean, he, for the right person, he is the perfect caddy.
I'll often tell the players, because they look at him very weirdly in the first hole, I say, listen, just stick with it. Because if you listen and try and work through all the bullshit, there's a lot to learn.
100%.
But there's one chap who says, oh, yeah. I said, are you all from where? And he says, well, they're Japanese. I'm the only English speaker, right?
Was he also Japanese, though?
No. I says, okay. He says, they don't speak any English, and I don't speak any Japanese.
And I'm the translator.
he says, that guy and me, we communicate in broken Mandarin. And we get Mackie Boy, who speaks his own language, and then me, who no one understands anything I say anyway.
Oh, jeez. This is a hodgepodge of languages.
Our hats off to Mackie Boy, who, by the way, isn't far off 60 years old.
Could you believe that? No way.
That. Unbelievable.
That is crazy.
He is speaking to the... He doesn't change his game up. He doesn't...
Of course not. No. There's one style.
He doesn't go into second gear and start maybe...
Yeah.
When I've got people that don't speak English, Japanese, I'll say slice for going left to right, and then obviously hook.
Or okay means pick it up.
They understand that, okay? So you keep... There's no point in having a conversation.
Oh, for sure.
Because you don't understand me and vice versa. Mackie Boy didn't change for 18 holes. He's now,
he's just got to hit it here with a little pace. And
he has one guy putting out of a bunker, which worked. And of course, the Japanese love that. They go, oh!
Gojata!
They thought he was a legend. Then he's calling this guy the general. He's going, you're the general. It was off the chart. Now, he didn't stop talking to the lads. His two lads maybe in their 60s. Well, and actually, they could have been their 80s because Japanese people look the same as him.
You never know.
They look way younger than they actually maybe are. But he was in the back of the cart still talking to them. And I'm thinking...
Well, see, that's the thing with the Japanese. They're just so polite. They just sit there and nod. So Max thinks they're understanding them. Yeah. So
he did one thing that I thought was bizarre. One of the lads...
Just one?
Well, just one. This was the standout one. We're on 11 and... There's a tour bag. You know, Japanese lads love
a good tour bag.
Love a tour bag.
Maybe so, with a little Hello Kitty on it. Yeah.
He's got a Bridgestone bag, and straight away, Mac used to carry on tour, so he knows all well how bad golf tour bags are. But the Japanese one's very nice. He says, this is wonderful. I could carry this normally. He keeps running back and forth to the general to give him his clubs. On 11, he runs across the other side of the fairway with the bag on his shoulder. Then he comes back, and as I'm in the same position, I'm walking back to the carts. Now, obviously, my cart has two bags.
Mm-hmm.
His will only have one.
Yeah.
It's not hard to work out.
Pretty simple.
He jumps into my cart, drives, and I was like, wrong cart. Just drove all the way up to the green. So I jump in his cart, follow him. And still didn't recognize that he'd gotten into the wrong cart. So, he's in a different planet, man.
Sometimes, depending, yeah.
But I absolutely love working with him. He's truly tremendous.
Gold, yeah. On that same loop, and actually it's a different loop I worked with you not too long ago. You did a move that every caddy does that we've never talked about on this podcast. And I hate to call you out for it, but it was such a good move. You probably don't remember this, but every single caddy that listens to this podcast has done this. You brought out three clubs to this player, and it was a long walk from the cart path. He was like the right side of the fairway, and the cart's like 100 yards out. And I saw the wheels turn in your head. You looked down at the clubs, and you realized you were one club short. You brought the 6, 7, and 8, and he needed the 5. And you look down at it, and you go, yeah, just a hard six, it'll get there. And the guy kind of looked at it and was like, I don't know about this. And he absolutely roped it. And he was like 15 yards short. And he's like, yep, that's got a little gust there, bro. Sorry, a little short. I looked at it and I was like, oh, it was legendary. I was like, man, I've done that so many times. Because you're not walking back to the cart at that point. I mean, unless it's really, really, really crucial this guy does something.
It's when you get to that point where you have matured as a caddy.
Yeah, you talk him into hitting the club you brought. Yeah. Yeah.
Now, you had talked about a marriage breaking down potentially.
Mm-hmm.
I had a loop not long ago, maybe 2-3 weeks ago. Very interesting situation where it was kind of a corporate event. There was a guy, we'll call him Bilbo Baggins.
Ooh, Bilbo.
Right.
Little Lord of the Rings reference.
There was a lady in the group who, by the way, it was a scramble. So
nice. Love a good scramble.
Love a scramble. She could play. She could
love really a scramble where the women can play.
Good off the tee.
Yeah, that's what you need, especially with those front tee boxes.
When you get those red tee boxes, she can be bombing at 120 past the boys. Yeah, that's so
excellent.
She would be 15 years younger than him, I think. Stout woman.
Now, this was his wife? Or
No. They didn't know each other.
Gotcha. Okay.
It was almost uncomfortable by the end because, like, as I say, girthy lady, mm-hmm. right? Solid. And he was hardly Brad Pitt, by the way, but he got a cocktail about the seventh hole. And he was nice to her before the cocktail.
Mm-hmm.
But in the UK, we would say, I think he was trying to get his Nat King Cole, right? Because he was so aggressive.
Feeling.
Yes.
Yeah.
It made my job very easy because, you know, in a scramble, everyone's watching. Okay, try right edge. Yeah. No, it's a little bit more.
He's bending down behind there, reading the putt.
Well, even when maybe the second player had hold the putt, he would then say, oh, no, you roll it. You roll it. Yeah. We'll call her May. Senior's was April. This one was May. And it was quite incredible. But he was touching, feeling.
And she's there unattached without her husband? Or
I didn't ask questions about marital status. Yeah. But it became somewhat slightly uncomfortable by the end because...
Was she not into it?
Oh, she was totally into it.
Oh, she was into it? Yeah. Oh, wow. Okay.
I don't know if she just thought he was being nice or something, but...
Gotcha.
Yeah, old Bilbo Baggins got a couple of cocktails and all of a sudden, you know, he got the horn, you know.
Wow.
Randy Jackson. It was unbelievable.
Well, good for Bilbo. So you think it worked out for Bilbo?
I asked one of the other lads, I said, any action? And he said they were definitely sitting together at dinner.
Well, there you go.
So, you know, hats off to the
romance
old guy.
Is in the air.
But golf, the game of love.
So I had one, an interesting one where I caddied this. It was a father-son tournament that I caddied for many years. I mean, years ago. The last time they played was probably 4 or 5 years ago. The kid that at the time was still in high school. He's actually early in high school, and he's sophomore in college now.
What is sophomore? Please explain that. That's a good point to...
So, like high school, there's, you know, freshman, sophomore, junior, and senior in high school. There's 4 years in a typical high school, any high school, and then 4 years of undergraduate in college, which is the same thing. Right. First year's freshman, sophomore, second year, junior, and senior.
Because back home, we make it simple. First, second, third, fourth.
Oh, yeah, that's more logical. But you know how we do things in the U.S. We got to complicate everything with our weights and measurement systems.
There you go.
But anyway, so I can't, and I normally... Like we've talked about, I send off the text message to anybody I'm going to caddy for. This is what the rate is. You know, this is what they recommend as far as tipping. Mm-hmm. This is what we expect on a requested loop.
If you want me caddying and not Ubering, this is what you're going to have to throw.
I didn't do that on this loop because I had caddied for him numerous times. Forgot what he paid me, but he texted me. His number was in my phone, so I figured he paid me pretty well.
Mm-hmm.
I look back at the records. I'm like, wow, that's a little on the low side. I didn't fire off a text message. So they get here. It's a 3-day job. Caddy for him the first day, everything goes great, and he gives me a large sum of money with kind of an odd number mixed in. So it was like many hundred with a couple of extra 20s or whatever. So I was like, that's kind of a red flag. I'm like, based on what you've paid me previous, you think you're paying the bag fee here. Something went haywire. You think you're paying the bag fee and then tipping me on top of the bag fee.
Yeah.
So I'm like, I'm not going to let this go for 3 days because you see the writing on the wall with that. That's going to happen. They're like, whoa, I didn't know I was paying this. So I said, wait a second, that opens a door for me. I said, you know, a long-winded text message. I could read it to you, but the gist of it was, look, you paid me this amount of money. That leads me to believe you didn't know that you were paying the bag fee in the pro shop. They wouldn't set me out there unless you paid the bag fee. This is what we usually make. While that number is not unusual,
yes,
it's a little high, and it's kind of unusual, the number you paid me. I said, this is what we normally make on a loop, which was much higher than he was previously paying me. Yeah. So I told you, between this range. And he sent me a text message back. He goes, oh, don't worry. You did a great job. He's like, keep that today. We're all good. You know, you earned that money. And the next day he told me, you know what? I didn't realize I was paying that money, but it's good to know what I should be paying.
Oh.
So I was able to slide the light text message in there and saved me many hundreds of dollars, which was nice.
Well, yeah, I think experience, the regular people come out, they know what a good caddy can add to the trip.
Mm, they know the deal.
I know you got into it on Twitter with a guy.
I did, yeah. You know what? And this guy on Twitter was bitching about caddies make 2 to 3 to 4 times what the maintenance crew in the golf course is making. That's just not right. Caddies shouldn't be making this. This is the same sentiment echoed by a lot of golf professionals, certainly where we work and other places too. If you don't like the lot you have in life and where your position is, mm-hmm, get a different job. If you're so jealous of caddies, become a caddy. Mm-hmm. My dad was a doctor. My brother was a lawyer. They make many hundreds of thousands more dollars than me. I didn't go to medical school. I didn't go to law school. I don't have a finance degree. I'm a caddy. I make what I make. If you're unhappy with what you're making on the maintenance crew or in the pro shop or anywhere else in life and are jealous of what caddies are making, come out and caddy if that's a problem. It drives me nuts when people get upset about what we make. It's not like we're making a fortune, but yeah, we make a good living.
You might not have a medical degree or a finance degree, but I tell you what you do have is you can get handed a wad of notes and know exactly how much there is in there just by the feel of your fingertips, though.
Yes, we're like those guys at the carny. You can guess the weight of the women or weight of anybody. Like, I'll guess to the pound what you are. I can guess to the dollar. Like,
that's brilliant.
We do that too. We're like, oh, that was light. That was light.
If anyone doesn't follow Zabo on Twitter, I think it's at ProZabo. Is that it?
At ProZabo, yeah.
There you go. He does. He doesn't hold back, actually.
You can check out my replies to a lot of comments.
He's pretty aggressive. So, right.
Sometimes you have to be.
I get some more stuff written down, but that's going to have to wait for another episode because we have a quite lengthy mailbag questions section. So
I like mailbag questions.
After a quick message from our sponsor,
Big Game Golf,
we will move on to our mailbag questions. Every golfing group has the guy who coordinates the weekly game or the buddies trip. If you're that guy, you'll be very familiar with the pain and frustration scheduling, managing, and scoring your game. Why not make your life easier by downloading the Big Game Golf app and start saving time and hassle today? Whether you're a caddy wanting to engage more with your golfers, a pro shop wanting to get out of running the weekly game, or you're that guy wanting to streamline the process, Big Game Golf is here to help you. The app has over 30 games, so there is no need to keep playing the same boring games with your mates week in and week out. The app is also fully integrated with the USGA, so every player's handicap will automatically be incorporated, which saves time and, more importantly, sandbagging. Simply choose your game, keep score, and the app will do all the calculations with live scoring, leaderboards, and contest results. Big Game Golf will even text players the final results. So start improving your golf experience today by downloading the app, Big Game Golf. Now, Zabo, we have some very, very good mailbag questions.
Love a good mailbag question. And let's hear them.
A couple of them have a little bit of meat and gravy to them. They have a little bit of body, like that guy, that girl that Bilbo Baggins was trying to bag. First one, should the sandy par be rewarded? Let's be honest, the guy put the ball in the bunker in the first place. Why should we reward him or congratulate him for getting a sandy par? That comes from a Pat Quinn in Fenton. It's in Missouri.
Well, what kind of reward is he talking about? You want a cookie? What do you want?
So people will always say, oh, great sandy. Or if they're playing games like junk, you'll get...
Well, yeah, it's an extra dot when you're playing junk. I mean,
but people make a big thing about it. Oh, it was a sandy par. Who cares? You put it in the bunker in the first place.
Yeah, it was your poor play that led you to be in that bunker. Yeah. Good on you for getting it up and down, but hey, you shouldn't have been there in the first place.
Something that people do a lot, maybe they hit a really bad drive, good recovery, get up and down, they make the par, and they go, oh, great par.
Wasn't a great par.
It wasn't a great par at all. It was a horrible drive, and it was lucky that you made 4.
Yeah.
But I've always thought that myself, that you're out there and they say, oh, it was a sand, double sandy. Who cares? You put it in the bunker twice then.
Well, I do say double sandies are impressive. Really? You get that at the big course a lot. Like, you get double sandy birdies at the big course a lot. You hit, like, the sixth hole, par five, hit it in the bunker. They have a good lie where they can get a club on it, get it up near the green in one of those left bunkers, and then put it on the green and make the putt. That's a double sandy birdie, a rarity, but it does happen.
Well,
that's impressive. I mean, yeah, there was bad shots to be where you were, but that is impressive to me to make a double sandy birdie.
Well, there's another conversation point there, which is, are these really bunkers? Because a bunker to me is you should only really be able to hit a sand wedge out of a bunker. That's a proper penalty.
Well, whereas, not the definition of a bunker, but I see your point. But
so it's not, if you can hit, like say in the big course, you got an 18.
Mm-hmm.
Every single bunker in that hole until you get to the green, you can hit a 3-wood out of, depending on where you are.
Correct. Yeah.
You know, so it's hardly impressive, is it?
You know? Well, it is a bunker, though. Definition of bunker is it's a sandy area where you can't ground your club, so yes.
You see a lot of that, people not grounding their clubs, huh?
Building sandcastles, yeah.
Come on. I've seen you around the course, but to answer your question, Pat, if you're playing a match where 2 points for a par, you have the poly.
Poly, that's an ever popular one. You
know, three,
Barky, when you hit a tree and make a par.
If you lose points for hitting it in the water, yeah. Or three putting.
Snake, yeah.
There's great variations of what they call trash.
Yes.
And a sandy par is rewarded. I think that's shocking. You know, I think it's like a hole in one on a par three course.
See, well, that's where we disagree again. I do think it should be rewarded in some fashion.
Do you see many golfers use the newer out of bounds and sand rules to their benefit? That's from Big Al in San Diego in California.
Never see the sand rule. That never comes into play. The penalty for that, I think, in my opinion, is too severe. I've never seen that used. I've seen it talked about maybe being used, but I've never seen it used. You see the OB quite frequently. Yeah, like so I encourage that too. Like you hit one OB, you take it where it went out and bring it back to the fairway and hit your fourth shot.
It's where it really crossed the boundary line, isn't it?
It is. Well, that's the problem with all these rules. They get bastardized and you take it liberally, especially myself. Oh, yeah, he went in up here at the 100-yard mark and went back about 220. Yeah, right here in the fairway, we're dropping 100
yards.
Yeah,
that'll do. Yeah. No, but I would actually say a lot of people don't know these rules.
They don't. And they're not used on tour. I don't. Maybe the bunker rule is, but the OB rule is not.
Wouldn't that be funny if we saw someone out there and they actually used the... So basically what Szabo was saying about the OB, we should explain the rule.
Yes.
If you hit the ball out of bounds to try and save time, instead of going back to the tee... I don't understand why someone would hit a provisional anyway. But where the ball crossed, you would draw a line straight into the fairway and drop it 2 clubs in the fairway.
Correct.
And hit four.
Correct. Hit your fourth shot instead of hitting 3 from the tee, which, let's face it, you hit the 3rd from the tee, there's a chance you're going to be in the rougher OB again. Yes. So let's let's save that hassle.
And then you also have this, the bunker rule is that if you don't feel confident about getting out of bunkers, you can pick the ball up.
2-shot penalty, and you can drop behind it on
drop
the line.
Drop behind it, and then duff it back into the bunker and do it all
and
over
have
again.
To, yeah, take another 2 shots and
put
over.
Me down for a 9.
Yes.
But no, I've rarely seen it. Women are more likely to... The girls that are taken out of the bunker, they're probably just saying, I don't hit bunker shots, so just take it out for me.
I mean, yeah.
It's not like they're scored, Mark.
Exactly. We put smileys and frowny faces down on the card instead of numbers.
Yes. So, first couple of questions there. Thank you very much. Now it gets interesting.
Okay.
When is it acceptable to give a gimme putt? That comes from George Hatton, Thornton, Colorado, right? And I actually posted something about this about 6 weeks ago, and I didn't realize it would be quite as controversial. So when is a gimme putt acceptable?
So again, this goes back to a rule that's been bastardized, because the gimme putt is a rule in match play. So what is a gimme putt? A gimme putt is a concession of your next stroke. You're conceding the fact that they're going to make that putt. Putting for 4, you say, pick it up, it's good, that's a gimme. They make 4. Now, that originates from match play. Mm-hmm. Is that how the gimme started? That's a great question. Where did the gimme even start? is a good question. But yes, we've extended that gimme outside of match play into regular play. We do it all the time. We think it's a great idea for our jobs because it helps with pace of play. Mm-hmm. Now, guys, extend that to be beyond a foot and a half, 2 feet, 3 feet, 5 feet in some cases, 8 foot putts. The guy's hosting. He never misses a 10 footer. Pick it up. It's good. Here we go. And then we got the country club guys. They come out in group trips and they play at their country club back home. And what do they all have? On their putters,
they have a piece of tape.
It's called inside the leather. But instead of inside the leather, because all these guys have long putters, they have different shaft lengths, the grip stop, they have a piece of tape at, you know, 27 inches, whatever it is. And I'd love to see at their home clubs what they're doing. They have this one guy, I'm sure, that has a ruler and he sits down and puts the piece of tape on. Yeah, I'm sure of it. And these guys come out in these games and they're playing big money. Oh, we got to measure. We got to measure. And they put it in the hole. They put their putter. Some of the guys, like, they put their putter 2 inches outside the hole because the guys are all looking at the tape and they're not looking at the hole. And he gives himself the putt. It's hilarious. These grown men over these gimme putts. What is the gimme? It's a great freaking question. What is a gimme?
It's brilliant. I think it does actually show humankind of how we had a group from England and they actually do that. So somebody at the beginning of the trip, all 12 guys, he measures, he's got the tape measure and then he puts the electrical tape on. Oh, and it's probably sealed like it would be like a document that needs to be signed for from the government. You know what I mean? That if the seal's broken, they'll know. Mm-hmm. Maybe check it. But they called it the snotch, I think.
The snotch. Right?
Which is ridiculous in itself. And they would say, is that snotch? Now, here's the thing. If you measured it and it was out with snotch, you had to pay everyone $10.
Oh, okay? Wow. So if you asked for the measurement and it was out of snotch.
Which comes to my attitude towards gimmies, right? Here are my set of rules. Mm-hmm. In stroke play, we're playing a medal. There are no gimmies.
Yeah, put the ball in the hole.
Now, again, in America, I've always noticed guys are going, I'm going to post my score. And I'm thinking, you gave yourself 125 feet of putts today.
You hit the nail on the head there.
How can that possibly, you can put your scorecard in? Because we don't do that back home, but we're more, you know, it's been more purist back there. I love the gimme. If someone asks if it's good, it's no longer, it's never a gimme. If you have to ask, if you have to beg, and there's a lot of, you know who you are out there, folks, you don't get it.
My response to that invariably is always, it's not bad. Because they go, is that good? I go, it's not bad, but you're going to be putting it if you're asking. So, yeah.
Well, if someone says to me, is that good? I'll say, not anymore.
Yeah.
If it's a gimme, and then you go, you then go ahead and try and putt it.
Oh, that happens so often.
Well, sorry, it's no longer a gimme.
That's another good question. What percentages of gimmies do you think would be missed? I bet you it's 20-30%.
I'd go 50.
You think half? Yeah, I mean, a lot of these gimme putts are, you know, 3-4 feet. It's like, come on, bro. This guy hasn't made a 3-footer in 2 days.
So that would be, in Scotland, I think that is actually an unwritten rule where if, and let's be honest, Scottish people wouldn't give you the time of day, right?
Let alone a putt.
If you get a gimme, you take it. Because if you don't take it and you try and putt it and miss it, that's off the table. That deal has gone. That deal has expired. So my experience is most regular female golfers, if they were a ghost, they wouldn't give you a fright. So there's no chance they're giving you a gimme. They want to hear it hit the bottom of the cup.
And that's actually another good point, too. I'd say the majority of female golfers hold more putts than the men. And I would say, because back at their home clubs, none of the women, we're not giving that back at my home club. I'm not giving it. But I would say that, 70%, I mean, it's tough to assign them, but I would say about 70% of handicaps are invalid due to the gimme putt. Because these guys don't hold out putts.
Just so you know, Szabo does not have a degree in maths or economics. He just plucked that number from the ceiling.
Yeah, I'd bank on it. 70% at least.
Yeah, bank on it. So that's I could not believe the feedback. It's like 650,000-700,000 people looked at that post, and there were thousands of comments.
It's a hot topic. I mean, the gimme. What is the gimme? The gimme putt varies from group to group so wildly. It's ridiculous. And it doesn't reflect your accurate score. If you're giving putts all day, it doesn't reflect what you shot.
It doesn't. The other thing, though, Szabo, is people were asking, is it for birdie or is it for par? If it's for birdie, no. If it's for par, it's okay. Par or worse, it's okay.
Yeah, you got to hole out birdie putt, even if it's a foot.
And they go, you got to earn it. And I'm thinking, okay, it's a 460-yard par four. He hit driver, you know, 5-iron to 2 feet. I think he's earned it. That was the earning part of it, not the two-footer or the 18-inch putt. And that's what's so obscure about people's thinking, in my opinion, is
it does get given more when it's for five or six. You know, if it's for a three or four, you know, we got to put those out. But if it's for a five or a six, well, it really doesn't matter.
What did you get in that hole? Oh, what's the par? What does it matter?
You got what you got. You got a number.
Really sort of interesting feedback in that whole one, and it was something that grabbed legs. I'll tell you one thing though. Every time I've played golf with wee Eddie O, the pro. Mm-hmm. He's never taken a putt. He holes out everything because he's a pro.
Professional who plays for money, and he knows you have to get the ball in the hole. That's the name of the game. You get the ball in the hole.
And you rarely see him miss anything inside of 4 feet.
Because he does putt them all out, and he practices.
Practice. But there you go. That's a great question. When is it acceptable to give a gimme? So I think we figured it out. Anytime you want.
Yeah.
Unless you're playing for a score.
Exactly. If you want a legitimate handicap, put everything out.
We had a guy in this couples tournament the last few days. He wouldn't give anything. Absolutely nothing. And he wasn't from Scotland. He wasn't from Fife.
Jeez. Yeah, it's funny you say that because I caddied in the same tournament for different people on all 3 days. And each group was a little different. There was the one couple that wouldn't give putts. And then one day, both couples were given putts. Yeah. And,
good.
6 feet, swipe it away. Caddy's judgment. Yeah, that's good. Pick it up.
Yeah, Dabo's like, yeah, you don't need your part here. You don't need your part.
Nobody needs to see you miss that again.
We need to protect the field.
Oh, that is a good... Protect the field. Oh. We got to protect the field. All the scores.
I'll be like, count. Listen, see, no one cares on your golf resume, but you won the mixed couples flight four in 2024. Just pick it up. Let's go. We're half a hole behind.
I got a 6-inch crystal trophy.
What's first prize? A sleeve of balls. Yeah.
No, sweet. They didn't give anything this year. It was just a little trophy. It was a little crystal trophy. That's it. I was told that. There was no credit, no nothing. Just a little trophy.
Garbage. Yeah, we got to protect the field. Next question. Do you think golf is getting too expensive? That's from Jordan, and he's from Mesa, Arizona.
It's a very loaded question with many different answers. I mean, yes, by and large, yes, to a large degree. Golf, I wouldn't say it's unaffordable. I wouldn't say it's unaffordable. In certain areas, maybe, but there's always opportunities. I think what's going on for juniors right now is great. There's a big movement in most areas in the country that makes golf very cheap for juniors. And there's a lot of access for juniors to get into the game. But as far as maintaining that as you get older and staying in the game, golf has gone exponentially up. What is the average cost of a round of golf in the United States?
$125.
Oh, really? It can't be that high. The average cost, I would say $35. The average cost.
I know we're going to need it. We ain't all playing par threes, Zabo.
Well, that's true. But I think you can still get deals. I mean, we're in kind of a microclimate where we are as far as golf. It's outrageously expensive to play golf where we are. But I think in the country, but it is getting, I think, you know, a big game changer was COVID, obviously. COVID, a lot of new people got into the golf, and there was more demand for the golf courses. So I think as there's more demand, prices are going to go up. And then I think another big game changer was a club manufacturer by the name of PXG. I think they changed the game when they realized there's this need for high quality things that cost a lot of money. And you put a price tag. Do I think PXG spends exponentially more money on making their clubs? I don't. I don't think they're that much more expensive to make than any Callaway, TaylorMade, what have you. But they figured out there's these people that want to pay a lot of money for golf clubs because they think it's a superior product. And I think that's happened. And now you're seeing these clubs cost ridiculous sums of money. Shafts that cost $800, $900, $1,000 for a shaft. It's gotten out of control, and people are willing to pay for it.
Have you ever met anyone that plays PXG that was not happy with them?
No, I actually, oddly enough, I play them myself. I'm very happy with them.
When you spend that amount of money, you have to be.
It's
totally gimmicky.
It is very gimmicky.
But what they realized, they've changed their business plan because they realized that they could only attract 5% of golfers, maybe less.
But that's all they need because there's those 5% that are willing to pay those prices for those clubs.
Well, to grow your business, they had to change it and offer much cheaper clubs.
That's
true. Let's be honest, look exactly the same as the premium.
Mm-hmm. And play pretty close to the same.
It's like champagne.
Mm-hmm.
So I would have to say golf's out of control. And I have a massive worry about the future of where it's going to come from, like where the young guys are going to come from. Now, it's certainly an issue more in America than it is, say, back home.
Mm-hmm.
I was in a conversation again on the Twitter. There's a bunch of council-run courses. So I think there's about 8 on mm-hmm. the rotation. Now, I used to have that ticket, and it used to cost about £270 a year.
Ticket being like a membership?
Yeah, so you would have unlimited play at 7-8 courses
mm-hmm.
for 12 months, right?
Wow, $270.
Now, I went at £270, which is about $300, a little more. It's now up to $555.
Okay? Which is still a good deal, but...
Which is ridiculously cheap.
Yes,
for
ridiculously
what you're
cheap, yeah.
And I checked, they're up in arms in St. Andrews, because everyone knows that if you live in a certain postcode in St. Andrews in the town, you have access to 7 courses, and they're up in arms because the price for the whole year for 7 courses has gone up to £371. Now, to put that in perspective, it's 300 for non-residents of St. Andrews. I think if you're in Fife, which is the actual region, you get a cheaper, you know, price. During the winter, you can get better deals, but during the summer, they're hitting the American dollar for probably around about $350.
Mm-hmm.
Now, you go to places like Turnberry, where I grew up.
To play one round.
One round. You start going up to like £450 if you're not staying at the hotel.
Yeah.
King's Barnes, 400.
Mm-hmm.
Crossing Ireland, Port Rush, you know, Ballybunion. They're all hitting that between £300 and £400.
They're high-end courses, yeah.
Over where we are, where we work, it's absurd.
Mm-hmm. $600-$700, soon to be maybe $1,000. I mean, I think... TPC Sawgrass is like $750-$800.
It is.
I mean, it's crazy.
Unlimited food and drink. So the golfer then has to make the decision. Do I stay sober and try and shoot a good number? Or do I get my money's worth and get absolutely ripped?
Man, that's a tough choice.
You know what I mean? Yeah. Like, that's right in there. But I think it's, like, to me, it's price gouging. One of the local country clubs here, if you're unaccompanied. So the guest fee is about, if you play with a member, is about $220.
Mm-hmm.
It used to be 110, so it's doubled in 2 years. And then if you're unaccompanied, it's $750. It's $3,000 for a foursome, plus you got to take a caddy. And you don't, if you're not with a member, I don't believe that you would have access to the same facilities. And you're just thinking to yourself, where's that money going?
I'm of the opinion it is what it is. If they can get that, good on them, you know. They're going to get it as long as they're going to get it. And when they don't, they're going to have to lower their prices. So, I mean, I think you can still access a lot of golf courses for relatively reasonable rates, but the cost is going up. And the market is going to decide what the price is going to be. When people stop playing it and they slow down to a certain point, they will have to lower their prices. And if that doesn't happen, good on the game of golf. It's growing.
Supply and demand, I understand that. I feel as if there's common ground, but my issue would be about what's the future. There's opportunities. Youth on course,
mm-hmm.
first tee.
Doing great things.
But the big issue with that is you've got to play a certain set of rules to then get access to that. So there's strings attached, whereas, again, where I'm from, all it is buy your ticket and off you go.
Yeah.
You know, me, I hate rules. Everyone knows that. I can't stand rules. Rules can apply to you, but just not me.
Just I
understand they have to be
me.
There, but don't. I don't want to live by those. So if I had kids and wanted to get them to play golf, I'd be like, well, you got to do this, and this to get your game of golf for whatever, mm-hmm. $5 or whatever. I would rather just say, no. Let's have junior golf much cheaper and have better access. But time will tell.
Yeah, time will tell. I mean, it's golf. Golf right now is certainly not getting any cheaper. It's a tough subject because you hate to see anybody priced out of the game. You know, people should have options. Anybody that is, you know, actually working a job and making a living and trying to do right should have an opportunity to play.
Absolutely.
I believe.
So time will tell on that one, but thank you very much for your questions. If you have any, send them in, podcast@glorifieddonkey.com, or you can send them in via social media. Isn't that right, Michael?
If you enjoyed the Real Life Caddy podcast, then you can help us out in a number of ways. Firstly, why not follow us on all the socials? Just search Glorified Donkey on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook. If you watch golf on YouTube, subscribe to our YouTube channel and hit the notifications button so you don't miss any new videos. You can also buy us a beer by visiting our website, glorifieddonkey.com, or follow the link on our Twitter profile. Finally, feel free to share the podcast with all your golfing friends. In the end, it all helps, and just remember, caddies are people too.
Thank you very much for that, Michael. Move on to some shout-outs before we finish up here. So I'm going to start off. There was a guy called Dan Pedersen from Alberta, Canada. All right, and he said, I found your podcast totally by accident about a month ago, and I've been chuckling ever since. Having toiled myself on the mini tours back in the mid-80s, I find so many of the stories told on the show hilariously relatable. Thank you very much, Dan. Very much appreciated.
Mm-hmm.
I'd like to put a shout out to Mark of H&R Roofing Supply. That's down in Oxnard, California.
Did he come up and fix your roof for you somewhere?
No, more importantly, bought some beers.
Thank you. We appreciate that. Buy us some beers.
I don't mind having a leaky roof, but as long as there's beer in the fridge, that's all that matters.
If you're enjoying the podcast, find us at Buy Us a Beer and hook us up.
Exactly. We got Dave Thompson, who we had on.
Love Dave.
On the last episode, he bought some beers. And also another guy called Marco Tatic, who's friends with BJ.
BJ?
Yes.
Oh, BJ. Our boy BJ from also the same club, Bolingbrook. Nice.
Dave Thompson. So thank you very much for that. Who you got to shout out?
So we have like big partners events out here.
Yeah.
And we had one recently, and the guys I've caddied for are the same guys in it for many, many years. And he goes, hey, you never shout us out in the podcast. I don't realize you were listening. So I got to shout out Dr. Tom Lombardo. Mr. Jacobs, got to shout out him. Gary Grelick and Jim Smith. Doc, I've caddied for years in the first tee in different events. Very fine player. Like, won a really good player in his day. Played in a bunch of USAMs, mid-AMs, senior-AMs. Really good player. So got to shout out them. They've been listening to the podcast all along. Never knew it.
Thanks, lads. Well, the one I always get is when other people you know say, are you still doing the podcast?
obviously you don't listen.
Obviously you're not. Yeah. So,
and hopefully some of the guys we got a shout out that are still listening that I haven't heard from in forever.
Oh, actually, I would like to say for the local people in Monterey, in the Monterey area, if you have any information, two guys went missing on St. Patrick's Day on the evening from the side of the road.
They haven't been found. There was a pile of vomit found on the side of the road, and two men missing from the general look. Their phones were pinged in that location last found, and good luck.
Any information you have relating to that, please.
Don't send them to me.
Send them in to the podcast. Or call 911.
Yeah, and also, we'd like to hear, driving in these rideshare apps, I have shared a number of times, and people were very interested and subscribed at the time. So I want to hear from those people if they're enjoying the podcast you've ridden in my car.
Okay, okay. Zabo, as always, thank you very much.
Thank you. Good to be here.
We have a couple of exciting episodes coming up in the next 2 to 6 weeks. Chris Rose.
Oh, is he coming on?
He's going to come on because he's been following the professional tour caddy and sort of lifestyle.
Yeah,
he picked up
a gal in the U.S. Women's Open here at the big course last year, and they hit it off and stayed with her, and she got her tour card.
Well, the women have a U.S. Open.
Stop it. Easy over there. They do. And very good open here last year.
Well, he's been all over the globe since I last saw him. So
caddying for her. Now she's got her card.
But Zabo, many thanks for your time, as
always. You're welcome.
We will be back in a couple of weeks' time. But until then, thank you for listening. But more importantly,
keep it humble.